I'm meteorologist Dan Zero.
It's a Friday night, now here we go. Everybody's working for the weekend. Last Friday night, now we did some tabletop. Now we took too many shots. Think we kissed, but I forgot. Last Friday night, TGIF.
You know what that means?
I do know what that means. Finally, a radio show you can tune into, and when you're done, when you're complete, you feel satisfied. You feel a little bit smarter. You can impress all your friends and be a little smug. How you doing, South Jersey? My name is Mel Taylor on WPG 1450, a massively bombastic, beautiful, bountiful show. And it's not over yet on this Friday, December 4, 2015. So far, so good. Keeping my head above water. Thank you to Alex Marino from Stockton and the Lead Act. And he's a freeholder. Mark Collazo talking real estate. Carlo. His name is Carlo, Mr. Lasco, getting all these high-powered meetings. Very impressive. And coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk stripers and fish with Dave Schowell, or Schowell. He's Dave from Absecon, the Absecon-based Sportsman Center, and he'll be calling in a few minutes. And right now, John Paffa is going to teach us how to keep our local government, got to keep them honest, right, John?
Well, it depends on what kind of government you want to live under. I would prefer to live under an honest one.
So who is John Paff, and how did you get involved? I mean, I kind of gave an overview, but I think the first question, because you could be harassed, maybe there's threats, some bad-mouthing, and even your son has said, a lot of people would not do what my dad does. John, explain to us exactly what we're talking about, Oprah, and how you got involved.
Okay, well, the Open Public Records Act, we call it OPRA, the acronym, it was enacted in 2002. And the act prior to that, which is the Right to Know Law, was a terrible law that just allowed, essentially, it was almost as bad as having no open records law at all. But OPRA is actually a very good law, and it guarantees citizens prompt access to non-exempt government records held by any type of agency except for the courts and for the legislature who are exempted from the act. And what got me involved in this is that I like to know how systems work. I'm a libertarian. I'm not a big fan of the wonders of government. And I've noted that the government will tell you what it does, and then there's a lot of things that government does that it doesn't want you to know that it does. Like, for instance, if a police officer were to save a cat from a tree or a child from a fire or something along those lines, the government will issue a press release. If, however, a police department has an officer who is involved in some sort of crime or some sort of maybe an excessive force against the citizen, they will actually try to suppress that information. So this is what we're dealing with. So I don't think that people get, we get sort of a skewed view of what government is. Government tells you all the good things it does, and it tends to keep the things that are not so good confidential.
Is there a defining moment of what led up to this much more powerful, all-encompassing Oprah, you know, the Open Public Records Act? What led up to it to finally force local governments to be much more transparent?
I think a lot of it was just how poor and how abused the Right to Know Law was. I mean, the Right to Know Law, let me just as contrast, the Open Public Records Act, OPRA, requires a municipal government or any kind of government that loses an OPRA lawsuit to pay the legal expenses of the citizen who wins. This levels the playing field. What they were finding is that under the Right to Know Law, that was capped at $500 an attorney. and you only got the $500 in attorney's fees if you succeeded in getting an order ordering the record to be released. So a lot of the towns were playing games. They were letting the person file the lawsuit, and the evening before the trial or the hearing at which the matter would be determined, they would voluntarily give the record to the requester and then say, well, you don't get attorney's fees at this point because you didn't succeed in getting an order. It was this kind of gamesmanship, I think, that really ticked people off. And the newspapers, the press association, a lot of public advocates got together, and they pushed the legislature really hard for a more comprehensive law, and that's how we got OPRA. So a lot of the reasons why we have OPRA today, in my view, is because of the recalcitrance of the public bodies and the way in which they sort of played games with records requests to try to deprive them.
In New Jersey, is it extra special here where OPRA was really needed? Is New Jersey above and beyond any other state or any other area in terms of its need for OPRA?
I don't know. I think that it's nice. It's sort of fun to think that, you know, well, New Jersey, and I often joke about it that, you know, if I go to another state, I'd say, well, the people who are corrupt here in your state, they're only in the minor leagues. You know, they want to go to New Jersey where the money is. But I don't really know if that's true because I don't know enough about the politics of other states. But I mean, I think that corruption is everywhere. And all I can say is that New Jersey certainly has its share.
It's WPG Talk Radio 1450. I am Mel Taylor. It's the Mel Taylor Show. What a coincidence. That's what the stationery says, the T-shirts, the baseball caps, the big billboard on the Atlantic City Expressway. So they put me on the air every Friday from 3 until 6. Well, he's John Paff, and he is known for being the master. I'm not sure if he wanted to really have that title, but people see him as the master. So when people know that John Paff is on the case, if you're a local government official or somebody that's trying to hide something, John has a very good track record of using these laws, these sunshine laws, these open public record acts, these Freedom of Information Acts. It's OPRA, the Open Public Records Act. John Paff is a master of them. And John, I think I wanted to get right to this right away. It's scary when you have to go to City Hall and you ask for this form, you have to fill it out, put your name, but you really can apply or request for information anonymously, and now with technology, you can apply for requested information using an anonymous name and do it through email, right?
Oh, yeah, you could. People can and should do that, especially those. You see, it's one thing for me. I live in Somerset County, and I can make a request of the Abseekin or wherever, and I really don't have to worry about anybody getting angry at me because I'm asking for a record that they don't want to give up. But if you live there and your kids go to school there, or God forbid a relative works someplace there or has a regulated business in a particular town, I don't want to pick on Abseekin, but I'm just saying you are intimidated by identifying yourself. You're afraid of reprisals if you were to ask too many questions. Some people feel that way, and rightly so. So OPRA does allow for anonymous requests, and as you said, you can make your request via email. So you could, if you wanted to, open up a Hushmail account or some other type of anonymous email account or even a Gmail account that is not associated with you in any other way other than just making these records requests, and you could send an email request to the city clerk or the business administrator of the school district or the county freeholder, the secretary for the county freeholder, saying this is an OPRA request. Put OPRA request right in the OPRA, right in the heading, right in the subject line, and say, I want the following records emailed to me. Anonymous. Number one, I would like a copy of all the lawsuits have been filed against any member of your police department during the year 2013. Number two, for each lawsuit that is responsive to number one above, I would like the settlement agreement or judgment or dismissal order that resolved it. And you could go on and on. And then when you get that information, you can do with it as you choose. But the idea is you don't have to identify yourself. And if they deny you access to the records, the Government Records Council there is precedent where anonymous people appearing anonymously, and there even is that in Superior Court, have anonymously exercised their right through an attorney to enforce the provisions of the act.
And even if a person who's a second homeowner and they have a home somewhere in South Jersey, but they live in Philadelphia, even somebody out of state can anonymously request information from a different state, correct?
Well, yeah, they have no way of knowing who you are. I mean, the act does say citizen. The act is for citizens, meaning residents apparently of New Jersey, but I've never seen a case where a person has been denied access because they are a citizen of another state.
Well,
you're anonymous, they can't really ask you. They can't really make you prove who you are because that would defeat the anonymity.
John Paff, how do you respond to those who claim that, well, you know, this Paff guy, he's an outsider. He's only trying to sensationalize himself at the expense of our town. He falsely accuses us of corruption. You've heard that before, right?
Well, yeah, but most of the people that say that, first off, they remain anonymous themselves because most of their arguments they don't want to have their name tied to those arguments and accusations because they can't withstand any scrutiny. Generally, no, I don't accuse people of corruption. What I do is I submit Open Public Records Act requests. Sometimes I'm pretty sure there is corruption, and I'm looking for the records in order to confirm or to negative that there is corruption. So I make an Open Public Records Act. Like, for instance, I got one now that's in front of Mercer County Superior Court, be heard in a couple weeks, where I know and I'm able to prove that the sitting sheriff of Schaefer was investigated by the New Jersey State Police for something, and the investigation was closed, and there was no arrest or charges filed. Now, I believe, he apparently does not, but I believe that the people of Cape May County who were electing a sheriff have a right to know what it is what he was being investigated for, and what was the process, the investigative process, because I know some people suspect, and rightly so, that law enforcement doesn't do a particularly good job at investigating other law enforcement officials, especially when it's done in public. Now, I'm not saying Sheriff Schaefer did anything wrong. I don't know that. I can't say that he did anything corrupt. All I'm saying is I think that we have to have transparency so that we're able to determine for ourselves, using our own good sense, whether or not someone received a reasonable investigation into whatever conduct they were accused of being involved in.
Let me ask you this, John Paff. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you're starting to put a little more focus, or something that really gets you fired up is something about there's some positive rulings here that you're getting government entities to disclose these out-of-court settlements, which actually was very tough for you to grab before, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was one of the plaintiffs in a case that went to the New Jersey Supreme Court, Asbury Park Press versus County of Monmouth, where it was held that the existence of a confidentiality clause in a settlement agreement between the parties to a lawsuit does not make the settlement agreement not available doesn't exclude the settlement agreement from being disclosable under the Open Public Records Act. So now I routinely ask for these settlement agreements, and I've learned, and what I pretty much can say from the empirical evidence I have, is that almost every lawsuit against the public agency, usually they almost all of them result in settlement. If they survive the early dismissal stages, they result in a settlement. In many cases, the agency, I believe it's always the agency that insists upon it, the government agency insists upon having a confidentiality clause placed in the settlement agreement to prevent this person, the plaintiff in the lawsuit, from disclosing the amount of the settlement or even that the settlement exists. Like, I just blogged one yesterday. Willingboro pays $250,000 to settle a police shooting lawsuit. This is a case where a man claims he was shot in the back while he was laying on the floor and with his hands spread out. And he received $250,000, but he had to sign off on an agreement stating that he would not disclose to anyone that this settlement agreement existed. These settlements are troublesome to me because what I'm seeing is that the insurance company or the taxpayers directly, or a combination of the two, pay the settlement amount. They make the plaintiff whole. But the person who's whose conduct caused the settlement, was at the root of the incident out of which the lawsuit and the settlement arose, suffers no consequences.
So, John, you're telling me that you're having some success at breaking the logjam of these protected settlement cases?
Oh, yes, I get them. I scour the court dockets. It's a lot of work. I scour the court dockets as best as I can. I gather up the settlements. I mean, I just put an open request into the borough of Harvey Cedars. They just had a settlement agreement. They just had a settlement that was entered into on some sort of a case. I'm not even sure what it is, called Zachary A. Rohan versus Harvey Cedar Borough in federal court, just settled on December 3rd. I want to know what that's about so I can publish it, because I think the people of Harvey Cedar should know what their officers are being accused of doing and what their officials are being accused
of. And John, where do you blog so people can write this down and follow you online?
Okay, I don't have the address memorized. Here it is. njcivilsettlements.blogspot.com.
And you've been blogging. You pretty much blog all of your stuff all the time at that website address.
Oh, yeah, I have three blogs, actually four. I blog that one. I have Open Government Notes, which I also blog. Things like they will be of interest to people who are following Oprah and the Open Public Meetings Act to find out about new court cases that are going on or court cases that are pending that will be happening. I have a police internal affairs blog. I have done some internal affairs complaints against the police agencies where the police have appeared to have done something wrong. And I like to blog all the correspondence going back and forth between me and the police, so people can determine for themselves how thorough of an investigation the police agencies do, and try to get some insight into how well the IA system works.
Have you had any experience as of late with Oprah requesting body cam tapes?
I've never requested a body cam tape, but I have requested the dash cam tapes, which are about the same thing. And I've gotten some of them. I've had orders where I've gotten the tapes, it's shifting in that now there's been a new appellate division decision called Lyndhurst versus, or North Media, North Jersey Media versus Lyndhurst, which makes the availability of some of these things and some of the things we've always, like police reports and things that we've always gotten, unclear. You always have to worry about the next appellate division decision coming up and upsetting the apple cart, and it could be good or it could be bad. But this is it's a constantly changing, shifting game.
Hey, John, we have a time limitation here, and in our last minute or so, just recap real quick, what does Oprah do? Why should people be interested in Oprah, and how can Oprah, knowing how to use Oprah, how does that help a local citizen make their local government more transparent? Can you wrap that up in less than 60 seconds?
Sure, yeah, I think so. If you do not have any access to government records, you will go to meetings. If you want to pay attention to your government, you just go to the meetings and you are going to listen to what the mayor and the council or the committee say to you. That is going to be your extent of getting the information. And to the extent that you don't always believe the politicians tell the unvarnished truth at every opportunity, most people feel a need to look at the records and to see the underlying records to verify whether or not the things they're being told are truthful. So if you want to check up and go underneath the surface of what you're being told and look at the actual records, you need Oprah.
Well, that is great. And just to recap the thing that it kind of piqued my interest, you can actually Oprah request information, most information. There are some exceptions, but you can do it anonymously and you can do it through email, which pretty much means no longer do we have to be afraid of harassment or any kind of reprisals.
That is correct. There is no reason. I would encourage people to even try it. just to go and do a sample OPRA request for a set of, let's say, the meeting minutes from the township council for last month, something that's not already online, and just send an anonymous email to your township clerk asking for that information to be provided to you and see if you get it. And that'll be your first OPRA request, and that'll be something you can learn from.
All right. Well, John Paff, that's P as in puppy, P-A-F-F. If he has so many sites, so many blogs, he pretty much documents everything online, all the work he's doing in keeping local governments honest. He's a government watchdog, some people say. John Paff, P-A-F-F. Google him, find all his stuff, subscribe to his stuff. John, thanks for checking in, and we really appreciate it. We'll follow up with you sometime very soon. Appreciate it, sir.
Okay, thank you.
On WPG, Talk Radio 1450. Stay right there. We're going to talk some fish.
Good afternoon. This traffic report is brought to you by Hallmark. We have no problems on the